This morning, I do not want you to do what my title says. I'm going to preach a message this morning entitled, Sleep On. And I don't want you to do that this morning. I don't want you to sleep. And I say that sort of jokingly because we don't usually have anybody unless, you know, they've worked all night Saturday that falls asleep on Sunday morning. I do want you to stay awake. I want you to listen. And I hope when I get done that you will say, just like Jesus did to these three disciples, sleep on, sleep on. You'll understand in just a minute what I mean by that. As we read here in Mark chapter 14, it was the night before the crucifixion. Jesus and his 12 disciples had eaten the Last Supper. When we find him here in the garden, Judas has already gone out, but with the other 11, he goes to this place that they went off in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. As they entered into the garden, Jesus told 8 of his disciples, he said, "Hey guys, I just want you to sit here and I want you to just stay here and I'm going to go further into the garden and I'm going to pray." He took 3 of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, with him a little deeper into the garden. And he said to these 3 disciples, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." What he was saying is, hey guys, I'm going to go a little bit further, but I want you to stay here. I want you to watch. I want you to pray for me. I want to remind you this morning that these 3 disciples, Peter, James, and John, were not only 3 of his 12 disciples, but these 3 were special and close friends. When he had called them, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men," these 3 and others left their homes, they left their families, they left their business, and they followed Jesus. They spent the past 3 years together. They'd heard him teach and heard him preach. They saw him heal the sick and raise the dead. They were with him that night in the middle of the lake on a boat in the middle of a terrible storm, and he was sleeping, and they came down to him and said, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" And he woke up and he stood up on the deck and looked at the storm and called out, "Peace, be still." And these 3 men were there and saw the wonder when the storm ceased and there was peace. They helped him when he fed 5,000 men, plus all the women and children who were there with just 5 small loaves and 2 small fishes. They ate together and slept together and prayed together and had fun together. These 3 were closer than the other disciples. It was only these 3 that he took to a top of a mountain, and they saw him transfigured before them. They saw Moses and Elijah. They saw a cloud come over that mountain, and out of that cloud the voice of God spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." It was only these 3 that he took in with him when he went with Jairus and Jairus' wife into the room where their dead daughter lay. And they heard him, only these 3 heard Jesus when he said, "Maid, arise," and saw that little girl raised from the dead. It was only these 3 that he took this night deeper into the garden. And he said, "Fellas, I'm facing the toughest day of my life. I need your help. I need you to watch and pray. I need you to pray for me." They were like his family. In fact, earlier in Mark, chapter 3, the Bible says this, "And the multitude said about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked about on them which sat about him and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." And his disciples that obeyed the word of God, they were family to him. And these 3, Peter, James, and John, were close. It was Peter that confessed in answer to the question, "Who do you say I am?" "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." It was John, who the Bible refers to as the disciple that Jesus loved, The one that leaned on his breast at the Last Supper. The one who in just a few hours he would entrust the care of his mother to. It was James who was going to be the first disciple killed for the cause of Christ. The first disciple that would be martyred for his master. And here it was, the last hours before the crucifixion. The last hours before the culmination of his earthly ministry. The last hours before he faced the ridicule and the shame and the agony of the cross. And as he went to this garden, he asked these three close and special friends, "Fellas, I need you to watch and pray. I need your help. I need your encouragement. I need to know that you care. I need to know that you're there for me." And as we read, as Brother Chuck read there in Mark chapter 14, after saying this, Jesus goes a little bit deeper into the garden and he prays, "Abba," which means daddy, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." He prays that prayer. He comes back to where he has left Peter, James, and John, and they're asleep. And he says, he calls Peter by name, but he calls him Simon, but he says to James and John as well, "Hey guys, wake up. Couldn't you stay awake for 1 hour? Can't you pray for me for 1 hour? Don't go to sleep. I need you. I need your prayers. I need your encouragement. I need to know that you're there." He goes to pray a second time. He prays the same prayer. "Father, all things are possible, I know. If it's possible, take this cup when I'm about to face, take it away from me, but not what I want, what you want. I didn't come to do my will, I came to do your will." He comes back the second time. They're asleep again. He goes back a third time and he prays the same prayer. And when he comes back the third time, as we read there in verse 41, he says, "Sleep on. Sleep on." Here's what he was saying. "I've been to the Father. We've worked it out. I don't need you to watch and pray anymore. I've been to Daddy. And he's told me what I needed to know." Jesus is illustrating there the truth of Psalm 118, verse 9, where the Bible says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Because you see, Jesus needs to teach us that sometimes we do the same thing. That when trouble comes, when trials come, when a heartache comes, we turn to man. We turn to our fellow man for help. We turn to our spouses. We turn to our parents. Sometimes if we have grown children, we turn to our grown children. Or we turn to friends. Or we turn to a pastor or a Sunday school teacher. Or we turn to a doctor. Or we turn to a psychologist. Or we turn to some other human being and we say to that person, "Hey, I need your help. I need your encouragement. I don't think I can make it through what's in front of me unless I know that you're with me. I need you to watch and I need you to pray." And by the way, I'm not disparaging that. I'm glad that God has put people in our life so that when trouble comes, we can go to them and we can say, "Hey, I need you to pray with me. I need you just to be there for me. I need your encouragement." But just like the disciples, the people we turn to in our life when trouble comes sometimes fall asleep. They let us down. They fail in that they cannot provide the help that we need. But I want to tell you something this morning. We have a God that never slumbers or sleeps. We have a God that is a solid rock. And the everlasting arms, a strong tower, the Bible says, in a time of need. We have a God who never fails. He supplies our every need. And according to the book of Philippians, he gives us strength so that we can do all things through him. And here's my point this morning. What we need to say to the people in our life that we've depended on. And by the way, again, I'm glad that God puts people like that in our life. But what we need to say to those people is, sleep on. Sleep on. I've got a hold of the Father. I've got a hold of that God who never slumbers or sleeps. I've got a hold of the God who's the great physician. I stand on a solid rock held up by the everlasting arms. I've got a God who can give me the strength to do what I need to do. Let's say to man, sleep on. Sleep on, because the Father knows what's coming. I don't need you to watch. I don't need you to face tomorrow with me. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow any more than I do. And by the way, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring for you any more than you do. But there's somebody that does. There's a God in heaven that knows what's coming. Our Father knows what tomorrow holds. Our Father knows what news tomorrow will bring. Our Father knows what trials will come. I don't need man to watch with me. I just need to get a hold of the Father, because he knows what's coming. The songwriter says it best. He said, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrows is the one that stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Sleep on, family. Sleep on, friends. Sleep on, pastor. Sleep on, Sunday school teacher. I've talked to the Father. He knows what's coming. Sleep on, number two, because the Father can handle what's coming. I used to think when I was a young boy that my dad could handle anything. And even as a teenager, my dad bailed me out, not of jail, before you get too far in your thoughts, but my dad bailed me out of a lot of things that I got myself into that I couldn't get out of myself. I've gotten older. My dad's gotten older. And I've come to realize there are things that my dad can't help me with. I've come to realize that there are things my best friends can't help me with. I've come to realize that there are things as your pastor I can't help you with. I can pray for you. I can anoint you with oil. I can try to be an encouragement. I can try to be a friend. But there are things that our parents, our friends, our pastors can't handle any better than we can. But I want to tell you this morning, there's a God in heaven that can handle anything. Amen. There ain't no problem that's too big for him. There ain't no trial that he hadn't been through. The Bible says, in all points, like as we, he was tempted. And I don't think that was just temptation for sin. Somehow, I don't know how, it's one of the things about the Bible I don't understand, but I want to tell you something this morning. You have a Savior that knows what you're going through. And he can handle it. Again, I turn to the songwriter to express the thought, 'tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world ever sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He's able. He's able. I know he is able. He's able to handle anything that comes. And so I say this morning, sleep on, family. Sleep on, friends. Sleep on, pastors. I've been to the Father. The Father knows what's coming. The Father can handle what's coming. Sleep on, number three, because the Father can work out what's coming and make it good. As Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane that night, his Father knew that the trial was coming. As he prayed that night in the garden, his Father knew that the beating and the whipping was coming. He knew the shame was coming. The Father knew that the next day his Son would be hung on a cross. He knew the sky would turn black. He knew that at a moment he would have to turn his back on his only begotten Son for the first time in all of eternity. But the Father also knew that out of all that, good would come. You might ask this morning, what good would come out of the mockery of a trial? What good would come out of the beating and the whipping? What good would come out of the shame and the ridicule that our Savior endured on the cross? What good would it would come out of the fact that God the Father, in the first time for all eternity, has to turn his back on his only begotten Son? Let me tell you about the good that came out of that. It's the good news of the Bible. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died and was buried and resurrected for our sin. And the good news of the Bible is that what he did 2,000 years ago on that cross is still good today. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 5, the Bible says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's the good that came out of the trial. That's the good that came out of the beating and the whipping. That's the good that came out of the shame of Calvary. That's the good that came out of the cross. That's the good that came out of when the sky turned black. That's the good when God the Father turned his back on his only begotten Son. Jesus paid for your sin, and he paid for my sin. And it happened 2,000 years ago, but it still works today. It still works today. If you're here and you're not saved and you receive Jesus Christ, he'll take a sinner and turn him into a saint. He'll take a person that's condemned and give him a full pardon. He'll take a person that has a soul bound for hell and give that person a mansion in heaven. The good that came out of all the things that faced Jesus the night before the crucifixion is this. If you receive Jesus Christ, he'll make you part of God's family. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So I say this morning, don't put your confidence in man. They want to help. And we will try to help. But we can't. We'll sleep. We'll let you down. We'll fail. Talk to the Father. Talk to the Father. Then tell him tell man to sleep on. Sleep on. Sleep on, family. Sleep on, friends. Talk to the Father. He knows what's coming. He can handle what's coming. And he can take what's coming and turn it into good. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, God wants you to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want to tell you this morning, don't put your confidence for heaven in the things of man. Don't put it in the church. Don't put it in baptism. Don't put it in the Lord's Supper. Don't put it in some creed or dogma. Being a Baptist will not take you to heaven. I think there'll be a lot of Baptists in heaven, but being a Baptist is not what got them in the gate. What got him in the gate is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I invite you to do that. If you're here and you are a Christian, and there are many in our church that are facing trials and heartaches, And I think it's wonderful God's put people in our life that we can gather about us in times like that, and we can have them pray, and they can be an encouragement to us. But you need to go to the Father. You need to get into that Garden of Gethsemane, that place where you spend time alone with God. And you need to pray the same prayer that Jesus prayed. Daddy, if it's possible, I want you to take what's facing me away from me. But it's not what I want. It's what you want. And when we, in the face of cancer, when we, in the face of losing a spouse or a child, when we, in the face of financial reversal, when we, in the face of some great loss or some great trial in our life, can say, Daddy, it's not what I want. It's whatever you want. Then we can come back and say to all the people that are around us, sleep on. Sleep on. I've been to the Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Wonderful truth that's in this book. I pray this morning for those that might be here that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, help them to see that they're a sinner. You tell us that everybody's a sinner, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Help us to understand that because of that sin, they're condemned to hell. The wages of sin is death. But when you sent Christ to the cross, when he suffered and bled there, you were purchasing our salvation. And I pray, Father, for every single person here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would receive him this morning. They would trust him. They would simply say, I'm a sinner. In Jesus, I believe when you went to Calvary, you died in my place. And right now, I'm trusting that and nothing else to make me right with God. Man, woman, boy, girl, doesn't matter how old, doesn't matter how many times they've been here, you can save them this morning if they'll let you. And I pray, Father, they would. I pray for the Christians that are here. I pray for those that are facing some tough times ahead. Father, help them to come to that Garden of Gethsemane and get a hold of you. Help them to pray that prayer that Jesus prayed. Not my will, but thy will be done. Bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient to what you tell us to do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.